Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Phil.
Hey, Phil.
I heard three. Are there three?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm here. This is Darby, too.
Darby, okay. So we got Heather. We got Darby.
Yes.
We have Gary from Vegas. Yeah?
Cool.
Yeah. Gary.
And we have
Vegas.
Nathan.
Yep.
Okay.
I might lose you guys, by the way. I was told.
Don't
that
say
I might.
Things like that. Just believe. Just believe, Gary. You're not going to lose anything.
Sounds good. Sounds good, Phil.
All right, so just a few little observations. Heather is now a magnet person. She's always been a magnetic person, but now she's a magnet person. And what I mean by that is now she's making money with her magnets. Right, Heather?
That's right, yes.
Okay, so I remember a time where that was just sort of a vision and a future memory.
Yeah.
Gary's on vacation. I remember that was a distant future memory. So things are happening and starting to manifest, and everybody has this power to keep things going. I don't want to make this call about the Thrive product, but I do feel obliged to mention it because it is truly an immense opportunity to build your business financially. And I'm seeing it clearer every day. So I just want to say everybody is sitting at a place right now where you literally know how to create a future memory, where you know how to manifest things that are milestones along the way, and where you have opportunity to your left and to your right and right in front of you. So from this point forward, the question really becomes, what actions are you going to take? Because that's really what it comes down to. And we know what blocks people from achieving the outcomes that they really want. We know that the four monsters are notorious for blocking people. Distraction can do it, procrastination can do it, money worry can do it, and probably the number one is negative talk. But we also know the remedies, and the remedies are planning and discipline and focus and clarity. In addition, what can hold us back is an overactive EEM. And I think, at least in some of your lives, that EEM has been burdensome. It's really been like a stone for you. And you're starting to, I believe, identify it and really connect with the prefrontal cortex and see different possibilities. So I want everybody to move out of that place of stuck. And sometimes you have to stretch and do things that you maybe didn't think you can do. A big part of this is separating yourself from the rest of the pack. I went to, it's actually a seminar that I spoke at last night, but then afterwards I sat in on a meeting, and it was with doctors, and one guy there was a master personal trainer, and he had run NFL combines, a really impressive guy. He's been in the industry for 25 years, and when I posed the question, whose fault is it that we have this massive epidemic of chronic disease? He was the first one ever who stood up, and he said, I believe we are all complicit. And I said, the people in this room? He goes, our industries. He goes, I think it's the fitness industry, and I think it's the medical industry. And I'm telling you, in all the times I've asked that question, nobody has ever answered it that way. The doctors always go, oh, it's the people. All they want is a pill. They don't want to take responsibility. The people go, oh, it's the doctors. They don't care. All they want to do is give us a prescription. And the trainers, they shrug their shoulders and go, it has nothing to do with us. We're the good guys. So it was really cool to hear doctors and trainer side by side acknowledging that we're both coming from industries that are in great part responsible for what's going on. I'm sharing this because you guys are so elevated. You have such an opportunity to not be stuck in that place. So separation from the rest of the pack becomes vitally important. So what I'm sharing right this minute is what you guys already know. You have the knowledge and you have the ability. It simply comes down to action and challenging the monsters and your EEM. So are you willing to do it? What I hope we could do on this call is just create a bit of an open forum where you guys can share either things that you've noticed, changes that have taken place in your life. You know, sometimes you go, when I do this, I notice this, and when I fail to do this, I notice that. So observations, insights, or if there are still plaguing challenges, you know, we can talk about them, but not to dwell on them, but rather to break through and come out on the other side. So with that, I would really like to open it up to anybody to just start?
I'll start.
Okay.
This is Nathan. So, like you said, not to make this a Thrive call, I do feel that one of my struggles over the last year and a half, 2 years, 3 years has been some days I can go and I feel motivated and I'm ready to move things forward, and then other days I just want to sleep because I'm so tired. And I've talked about this in this group before about my energy coming and going, and you know, some days I'm motivated and other days I just don't feel like I have that hustle that I did back in my 20s.
Nathan, just a quick question. Do you believe that's emotional or physical? More emotional or more physical?
Honestly, and that was kind of what I was going to talk about, because I'm not sure.
Okay.
You know, Tony Robbins can take somebody and change their physiological state and their way of looking at something. And I wasn't strong enough to continue to keep trying that. I could see through creative tension where I wanted to go, and I was slowly, very slowly, moving in that direction. And I've been moving since we started towards my $100,000 a month goal. But I personally feel that if I would have had this, everything that I've had now in my 20s, and had this drive and knew everything I did, I would be there a lot faster because of my energy levels. Being on this product for 16 days, time has slowed down for me, that we're just getting so much stuff done. Now, I've been focusing a lot on Thrive right now because I'm getting my clients on it and talking to people and getting people on it. And we talk to at least 5 people a day about it. I feel like now I have the ability to really go and get this done and make $100,000 a month, faster than I thought previously because of where I was energy level, energetically. I do my creative tension every single morning before, and I do it in bed, but I do it every single morning before I get out of bed, and it really sets my day. And like I said, some days I'm just like, all right, let's just go, kick the shit out of this day. And other days it's like, oh my God, I can't even get out of bed at 5:30. But now I'm getting out of bed before the alarm starts, and I'm fired up. I have my youth again. I have that vitality again. And I'm really excited, because now it's like, now I've regained what I feel like I lost.
All right, let's address a couple of things.
Okay.
Number one, you watch Tony Robbins change somebody's physiology and changes their state.
Right.
Tony Robbins also does a firewalk. Tony Robbins gets people to do things they've never done before. He gets them to, overcome their fear in front of an audience. But that's a very contrived situation. Now, is what he's saying legit? Yes. But the problem with changing your physiology to change your state is you have to pass the baton back to your limbic system. He doesn't address this. So when somebody is by nature a very upbeat person, and you know people like that, when you know people who are high energy, sometimes it's draining just to be around them because you go, where's the off switch, right? But you put those people on stage, and if they're intelligent and articulate, they will light up a room. But when the people go back to their life, they don't carry that energy with them. So if you stand in front of somebody, Nathan, and you go, stand up straight, get your chin high, I want you to picture yourself with the sun beaming out of your head, I want you to see life energy flowing through your body, and I want you to say yes and jump and put your hands in the air in a victory, in that moment, their state changes. There's no question that physiology changes state. But what I said earlier is eventually it has to pass the baton back to the limbic system, because you cannot put physiology in front. Physiology is the outcome of emotion. So for the short term, you can take an emotion and use it to change your physiology. So if you're feeding off someone else motivating you, and question me if you don't understand what I'm saying. If you are feeding off somebody else instilling fire in you, then you find the emotion in the moment to change your physiology. And your physiology dictates your emotion in that moment. But you can't keep physiology first because you're driven by mind and spirit. The body will follow. So a part of what you see with the Tony Robbins event is in part synthetic. It's not lasting. It doesn't stick. Now, does he give other tools and resources? Yes. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with what he does. I'm just saying when you see somebody motivated and as a result of that motivation, they change their state to change their physiology and that changes their state, it can't last unless they go through a limbic system shift, an emotional change, a mindset shift. So it becomes extremely draining over time to try to get up in the morning, punch yourself in the chest, go, yes, and start a day unless your emotional makeup is driving that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah.
Creative tension is the underlying program that gives you the emotion to drive the physiology, to drive the outcome. So it's almost like following somebody else's energy to change your physiology is a great little trick that might last an hour or two or even a day or two. But if you don't change the programming, then you cannot sustain that. So there's nothing wrong with changing your physiology. But if your limbic system has not changed, then trying to lead with physiology will always be draining. You will crash. And in Be Better, I teach the concept of nudging the needle. It's the opposite of pedal to the metal, because what happens is we get inspired, we get motivated. And at first, when I was doing seminars, I'd see it. You know, people go, yes, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to follow the program, whether it was a health professional or whether it was a consumer. And then a week later, they crash and burn. And I realized they're acting outside of their true programming. And there's too great a gap. So creative tension gives you the ability to step into the future, to become something in your mind that you are not yet, but you're going to be. And every milestone along the way brings you the limbic system shift or the emotional shift. So in that, the physiology changes are driven by emotion. So what I'm saying is living a life where you try to invent your emotion through physiology is always going to leave you drained. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So a little bit, at least, it explains. And that's why I asked, is it emotion first or is it the physical first? And it sounds to me like you were trying through rational means to let me follow this, let me do this, let me get myself motivated, psyched up. And then sooner or later, the emotion goes, oh, shit, I can't sustain this. And I really suck and nothing's happening the way I wanted it to. And of course, in that state, and you don't go into a depression, but you can't sustain the physiology, and so you feel like you need to rest. So the whole concept of nudging the needle is finding your zone, finding where you're good, and just doing a little bit more. And that's why I didn't say to you, guys, go out and find 10 new alliances. I said find one. And then find somebody that you already know. Because when you make these little shifts and they start to bear fruit, it becomes natural to make another one, to form another alliance. And if you have your eye and your ear and your feeling and your heart and your emotion on the future memory, then you realize you're continually moving closer rather than going and stopping. So this is why now in programs like Be Better and even in my regular fitness programs, I always start with mindset because we have to change the programming first to make it last. Is that helpful at all for you?
Yes, because I'm an all or none. There's no half-ass. It's just go after it. And I kind of forgot about the nudging the needle part and, you know, finding just one person or finding and building upon that versus this entire mountain that I have to climb, and I need to climb it all today.
And the other thing that I would add in about Thrive, and really I walk a fine line here because in my life I've been so offended by people who are evangelistic over products, and I never want to be that. But I've never seen anything like this. I'm being honest. Nathan is being sincere. This is not from everybody. Some people have a different kind of initial reaction. But I've never seen people respond to a product like this. Never. So I looked at the science. I looked at the legitimacy. I tried it myself. Then I had other people try it. And then I looked at the compensation. So that's the reason it's high on the list. It's for no other reason than it is a perfect fit. But I think for you, Nathan, I'm guessing that in those times that you were down, you needed a jolt. You went to whether it was caffeine or some kind of supplement. I don't know exactly what you did. But I think I heard you say something about you were in adrenal overload, right?
Yep. Yeah, I was I have an oxygen tank at my house. I mean, we suck on pure oxygen. I was doing 300 to 400 milligrams of caffeine a day. And then some days it would work and I could feel it. And then some days it didn't matter how much I took, it wouldn't work at all.
Yeah, so you're kind of running the engine hotter than it's really capable of running.
Yep.
And that's why it's inevitable that you're going to have those crashes. So the fact that you feel consistent energy now makes sense because you're now taking in 64 milligrams of time-release caffeine in a day rather than the jolt and the crash and the jolt and the crash, right?
Yep, exactly.
Okay, so I didn't mean to take you off where you were going, but I just wanted to point that out when you spoke about, you know, the physiology because – that's common. When people try to change emotion through physiology, you can do it in a moment. Like if you have fear and you have to do a public presentation, then this works. Then you go, I'm going to change my physiology to one of confidence, and at least it gets you out on the stage. But
right.
Living your life that way becomes very draining unless you change the programming.
Okay.
But go ahead. I interrupted you. So
no,
is
no,
there more?
That was it. And it's just,
okay.
I just feel that I have the energy now, the consistency to keep pushing this forward. And now, you know, now that you brought that up, nudging the needle versus pushing it over, you know, completely over to the other side.
Great. And nudging the needle doesn't mean low energy. It just means just a bit more than you've been doing. And then just a bit more than you've been doing. And it's kind of like you progress workouts. You know, you do the same thing with the way you pursue your outcomes. So very good. Anybody have any thoughts for Nathan or want to share anything at all about what you're going through, what you're thinking, what your challenges are, what your victories are, what you see in the future? Anything? I chose the four of you for a very specific reason. I said because all of you are very different. So you guys know by now that when you share, it benefits everyone else here. Who wants
Nathan,
to
Nathan, this is Gary. Can you hear me? Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Nathan, as a martial arts person, when you teach people, don't you teach them step by step?
Oh, yeah.
I just try to take
bigger steps.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's nothing wrong with that, but I find that most people that I teach, that I have taught, whether it's this or about fitness or anything else, they have to be fed one step at a time, baby steps. So I'm personally like that myself, so I can't completely relate to that. Maybe, you know, maybe that's what you just need to do so you don't feel like, you know, as long as you're moving forward, you probably would feel good about what you're doing, right? I mean, that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, and I think what Nathan expressed is he's there now in the past or leading up to now because he was revealing an insight. Up until very recently, he would have these wild starts and stops and, you know, high energy, low energy. But I think, Nathan, correct me if I'm wrong, he was expressing that he's on the other side of that now. He is kind of stable. Am I right?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't hear it that way. I took it that you felt like you were high and then you went down. And you know, because
no,
I experienced that.
Yeah, no, that was leading up to now.
I hear a phone ringing.
Yeah, yeah, that was – no, it's done now. You don't hear it anymore.
Correct.
Okay.
anyway, okay. I heard you. I actually my input was not meant for you then. It's for somebody else.
It was meant for the Nathan of several months ago.
It was meant for me.
Okay, very good.
There you go.
Heather, give us a little of the Heather story.
Which Heather story do you want?
The current one, the most current episode.
The most current episode. things are running along pretty smoothly right now. I'm happy with the direction things are going. Very happy. But I noticed you said something about insights. When I do this, things are good. When I stop doing this, things, I'm not going to say things are bad, but maybe not rolling as smoothly as I want to. And that is certainly connecting with people every day, making sure that I am stepping out of my comfort zone and talking to new people every day. When I am consistent about that, you know, there's never-ending amount of leads or referrals, whatever you want to call them, to reach out to get them enrolled in training. And when I don't do that, you know, things dry up. And the money worry starts and extends. Start all over again, it feels like. So that's what I've noticed is when I'm consistent about reaching out to new people, things work like clockwork.
Heather, have you learned, now that you have this insight, to interrupt the other end? In other words, if you catch yourself and you go, oh, man, how am I going to pay my bills? I need money. Can you catch yourself and go, oh, shit, here I go doing it. This is money worry. I need to go meet people. I need to lift myself up. Can you do that now, or do you kind of get a little beat up when you get into that other corner?
Sometimes I get beat up, but it doesn't last as long as it used to. So that's a win.
Are you able to hold on to the future memory? Are you really able to use this creative tension concept and, you know, get clear on where you're headed?
Yes, and when I do that consistently, yes, it's a beautiful thing. But when something happens, I get up late or something happens to interrupt my creative tension time, yeah, it's a struggle.
You know, I'll share a little quick personal experience with you guys. There was a time that I think I've shared with you enough times. I got very sick from mold. I didn't know what was wrong with me, and then I found out, and then I got well. But between recovering from the mold and finding health again, I had a condition called chemical sensitivity, and it's a very debilitating condition. And it's an extreme sensitivity to any chemical. So it's new furniture, new carpet, paint, cleaning supplies, gasoline, perfumes, fragrances, colognes, air fresheners, and you don't realize how it's everywhere. Even like fabric softener on people's clothes. If somebody would sit at the next table at a restaurant and they had, like, I'd learned to identify actually which, like, Febreze I could smell from a mile away. I started to know these smells. And it's hard to explain what it feels like. The only people who really get it are the people who've had this condition. And lots of people, I mean millions, suffer with it, and they leave society, and they're living in the desert. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm not lying. They go to New Mexico. They have these little communities where nobody's allowed to bring in any chemicals at all. And it's really sad, you know, to meet these people. So there was a time where I felt like I'm one of them. And I would fight it. I'd go, I can't be one of them, because I'd see them, and I'd see their lives, and I'd go, I can't be that. But I'd argue with myself. I go, but I am. But I'm not, because if I become that. So the struggle was really a mindset struggle. Do I choose to be one of them because I have the condition they have, or do I choose not to be one of them because they've given up on life? And it's hard when you're in the middle of a reaction. You know, when I'm in an elevator and two women get in with perfume and I faint, you know, I passed out on airplanes. I mean, this was over the course of about a year and a half that I was really struggling with this. And the answer for me was stop, stop, stop. Honestly, I learned that I could literally switch off the reaction by changing my limbic system. So everything I developed as far as creative tension gave me the ability to eliminate completely this condition. And I mean, to the point that now I can, you know, go into the perfume section of a department store. I can go on a date with somebody with perfume, which doesn't sound like a big deal, but you cannot imagine how severe this was. And still, only because I have like a heightened awareness now of chemical the danger it does, I'm careful to use natural products, and you know I try not to be around chemicals, but I can. So the fix was completely mindset. And if you choose to believe that we are all on a path and we're able to look back in our lives at the hardships and go, well, this served me. I look back at that and I go, this served me, because I realize the immense control that I have over my mind. And I wanted to share this with all of the people suffering with chemical sensitivity. And I tried, and I can't, because they're too blocked. They're too fearful. Now, I don't mean all of them, but I tried. But it's like they want to suck me into their misery, and I refuse to go there. So there are those people who are willing to take control of their mindset. And this was just a very, very blatant, clear example that it, from my own life, that I could see it, where if I choose to control the way my brain is responding, then I gain power. If I fear and run a fear response, then I faint, or I pass out, or I end up in a hospital. And it was that extreme. So think of that as a metaphor. So Heather, when you get into that place where you feel like, oh man, here things are just not going well, that's the time that you absolutely 1,000% need to do the creative tension exercise, because it's the fix. Now, you know, thankfully you're not plagued physically as I was in that condition, but I hope you could understand the strength of the metaphor that I'm giving you. Is when you get sucked in by negative talk or a money worry monster or your EEM, the last thing in the world you want to do is get up and go, stop, 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 you know, cross-wiring in my limbic system. But that's the medicine. So the more you're willing to recognize that, the more you're willing to, you said, step out of your comfort zone, you could eliminate the future moments. In other words, in a moment when money worry shows up, you just go, stop, 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 and you go to the future memory, and bam, you walk out of that, and you go, I have to just meet more people tomorrow. That's it. And money worry goes away. I don't say that all your bills are suddenly paid, but you stop the worry loop. You suddenly move into a place where you can plan. Now, how much are you charging? You and I spoke privately, but I want you to share with the group. How much are you charging for the magnets?
$130
for a how long session?
1 hour.
And why is it worth it?
Because I'm worth it.
But when you say you're worth it, if you showed up with the magnets, people may not pay that. So why is the session itself worth it to your clients? Why will they pay $130 for a session?
Because they understand, they know that it is going to help them.
Right. So here's one of the things I say about our industry. The reason that doctors can charge $1,200 for a procedure, I mean, like a dermatological procedure, $2,600. No, and if you don't have insurance, they'll give you a discount. They'll make it $1,900. And you look at it and you go, okay, the doctor spent 16 minutes with a person and got $1,900. We change people's lives. We help them reverse disease. Isn't there some little bit of imbalance here? I'm not saying injustice. So what's the difference? Here's the difference. Because when I talk about like a dermatology, I'm using that as an example because that's not saving a life. That's not, in most cases, reversing a disease. So why can the doctor just charge that without batting an eye? I'm going to tell you why. Because they have permission. Because they go to medical school and they're ushered into a field where that's the way they charge. So they never have this uncertainty. They never go, oh no, well maybe people don't want to pay that, because they have permission, because their entire field was given permission. Trainers were never given permission. Trainers took a certification test, but nobody ever said, when you complete this, you will be able to charge $130 a session. Nobody ever said that. Nobody ever gave you permission. So when you go through a credential or a certification or a new learning and you come out and they've already paved the way, they've said, this is how much you charge for that, you go, okay, and guess what? People pay it. Why? Because they believe in the outcome and because you're competent. So what I'm saying is the magnets aren't worth any more than a personal training session. Now, you could argue this with me, but I'm saying both cases, you're a practitioner who is facilitating improvement. So I believe that...
I completely agree.
Yeah. So this too, it's mindset. That's all it is. You know, Gary witnessed this in his own life. He argued at the beginning. He goes, oh, people don't want to pay that much. And he goes, yeah, this is how much I charge now. So... all of these things are so fixable by shifts in mindset. And keep in mind, the hardest thing to do is change your mindset when your mindset is bad, right? Because it's your mind. So when your brain's going, this really sucks and there's nothing you can do about it, you've got to literally make it argue with itself. So here's the way you do that. You realize that it's not your brain talking to you, it's your EEM. You need to go PFC. There are different voices, and that doesn't mean you have multiple personality disorder, but you can access one when the other one is taking over. So if you guys keep that in mind, then this creative tension I've been sharing with you from day one that really at first doesn't seem that important becomes the medicine that fixes every handicap you have in limiting you from achieving any outcome you want. So Heather, I see you on a fantastic course, truly living your dream, because it's not only financially, the 130, but it's giving you a greater confidence. It's giving you yet another tool that you could use to talk to people. It's giving you greater breadth in terms of getting referral business, because you now have kind of more tricks up your sleeve. So I see you on a tremendous path forward. You just need to step into it and just don't allow yourself to waver from it. So that's a really good insight, that when you meet people, things happen, and when you shy away from it because of worry or fear or you convincing yourself that nobody wants to talk to you anyway, then you're going to start sliding down the hill. So as long as you know this, then it's your power to change your own mindset, to change your own outcome. And this is a far cry from the Heather that I met when we started this program. Do you agree?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, I shudder to think of that person over a year ago, yes.
Yeah, and don't shudder to think of it, but just look over your shoulder and go, wow, look how far I've come. So you're headed along that creative tension line. Look how far you're going. You know, that's the other end of that rope. So fantastic. Darby, Darby, Darby.
Yes.
How are you?
Kind of missing my girls, but enjoying the quiet and the peace. They're in North Carolina for another week. So I'm getting a lot done, but not in my business.
Have you taken the pictures?
Huh?
Have you gotten the pictures, the exercise pictures or videos or whatever
Nope.
you're going to do?
No.
Okay.
I really have not done anything for my business. I'm doing some self-work. I'm focusing on getting myself together. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but I've been through a lot in the last 2 years, and my gut is just telling me I've got to work on myself right now.
Okay. Do you mind talking about this?
I don't mind talking about it. I don't know if you guys want to hear about it.
I'll make you a deal. Here's the deal.
What?
If we get tired of talking about it, at least if I can perceive that, I'll say so. Okay?
Okay.
And if you get tired of talking about it, you'll say so, and then we don't talk about it anymore. Deal?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So just explain to me what working on myself means.
The most important thing is I'm trying to do more things that give me joy.
Okay.
I've been redoing, this is kind of along that lines, I've been redoing my daughter's rooms while they're gone, and I've been doing a lot of painting. And I don't know if you know this about me, but my background is I'm very artistic. And
you've shared that with us before, yeah.
Yeah, and I used to, that's what I love doing. So I'm having that feeling of, oh my gosh, this feels like when I used to be happy. And so even though I'm just painting furniture and walls, which is kind of boring, it's kind of, I don't know, making me like think about how to, I don't want to say be happy, because I mean, I am happy, but like, there's just a joy that's kind of been gone for a while. And I want my kids to see that. I want my kids to see who I am. And I've struggled with this since I did the Be Better program with you years ago. I remember a conversation we had, and I said, how do I work part-time and be a part-time mom? And you said, you can't be a part-time mom. You can't do both. You know, how do I be a full-time mom and a full-time work full-time? And you said, you can't do both full-time. So I don't know. I'm just kind of like, I'm kind of enjoying this moment right now, and I'm giving myself a little bit of a break, which I don't normally do.
Okay.
I'm just taking some pressure off of me, because I tend to put a lot of pressure on me. And like maybe, I don't know, it might have been about a month ago, we had something, maybe it was the pictures, I don't know. And I was talking to my husband. I was like, oh, my God, I got to get the pictures done because I've got the call coming up tomorrow. And I got to, he's like, just settle down, relax. What's the hurry? Everything's going to be okay. Stop putting so much pressure on yourself. So I've just been kind of trying to not beat myself up over every little thing. And I'm not getting new clients, but I haven't lost any clients, and I really don't want to work more than I'm working right now. So I'm kind of in a weird state that isn't congruent with what everybody else is doing, but I'm like okay with that right now.
Okay.
Not to say that I'm out of the game. I just am taking like a little bit of a break.
Darby, if I lived next door and every once in a while I came over and we had like a cup of tea together and I was your friend,
mm-hmm.
I would say, great. That's not my role.
I know. That's why I didn't figure you'd want to talk about it.
Well, no, I do want to talk about it. And I don't want you to believe that anything I say is criticism. It's not. And, you know,
no,
above all, I want you to be happy. But I do have observations from the perspective of this idea of being better and finding growth.
Yes.
And, you know, I know a lot of people who have very stressful lives, and they look forward to the vacation. As a matter of fact, last night I told you I did a seminar. I was talking to this woman. She's from Washington, D.C. She's a paralegal. And it was her last night in Florida. And I said, I'm flattered that you spend your last night in Florida, you know, listening to me speak. There are a million things you could have done. And she goes, no. She goes, I want to go back and have something positive. I want to be able to go back and really have some sense that I can really improve. Because as soon as I go back, everything falls apart. And I said, what do you mean everything falls apart? She goes, oh, my God, it's so stressful and deadlines, and I work for attorneys, and I can't even maintain a relationship because I'm always so stressed, and I like to stay out, but I have to go to bed, and nothing makes sense. And I look at this woman with a little bit of, and I hate to say this word, but a little bit of pity, because in the moment, she's like tranquil, relaxed, she's got a nice tan, you know, but she's walking back into the fire. So she manages to escape to a vacation, but I want you to think about what she said to me. She wanted to end with hearing me speak so that she can go back and do something positive. And I thought, how unfortunate is that? That she feels like the vacation allowed her to escape from the stress, but she's no better for it. Like she needs to look for something to take back with her so she could find some positivity back at home. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's kind of like this temporary escape, and I don't say there's anything wrong with the vacation, and I am a little flattered by the idea that she took what I said and is going to use it to somehow improve her life, but I was talking about reversing weight loss resistance. I wasn't talking about changing your life, you know, in very positive ways in other areas. So you look at her and you go, it's so sad that she's living her life in this sense of chaos and stress. And she comes for this escape, and then she's going back into the boiling water. You know, that's kind of how it felt. So I just feel like what we really strive for, and this is all of us, We strive for significance. That's really what we want. So why do you want to be a good parent? Of course, the obvious answer is you love your kids, right? You love your kids. Even when you hate them, you love them. And I understand that. My daughter's 14. I get it. But really a big part of the human experience is you want to see your kids grow up into something you can be proud of. And this is not selfish, but it gives you significance. Parents are proud. They go, look at the children I raised. You know, sometimes you hear seniors talking and they're boasting about, you know, well, my son is a doctor. Oh, yeah, well, my daughter works for CNN. And there's this sense of significance because they raised them or they produced them. And in business as well, if we think of business as business, that doesn't feel fun. But if you're able to say, I'm changing people's lives and they love me for it, you know, there's a sense of significance. I am helping people reverse their disease. There's a sense of significance. So ultimately, what we would really love that would make us feel balanced and whole is to feel significant, of course, with joy and also some relaxation put in there. But what happens is, if we miss the mark a little bit, if our work isn't bringing us any level of significance and it becomes stressful, then we start to seek something else. We seek gratification. So we go, well, if I could just make money at this, well, if I just didn't have the pain in the ass clients, and now no longer is it this idea of you being able to live with your purpose, now it's the idea of you get what you deserve. And when you get into that state, you kind of lose the joy. So you talk about a business in that way. You, at least in the state you're in now, associate your business with stress, with more to do, with this sense of anxiety, with, you know, you go, oh, I have to do the pictures, and your husband's going, hey, just relax. Like, your business is stressing you out. So it's not giving you significance, it's giving you stress.
Yes.
And I think that within you, within your heart, within who you are, is such an ability to find that significance by helping people get better. But you have to find a way to live in that state of balance. And I don't want to harp on the pictures, but it's a really good example of what we're talking about. Darby, if you took one picture every other day since we brought it up, I'm sure you would have 24 pictures by now.
I know. I hate the way I look, and that's really what has stopped me from doing it, because every day I wake up and go, nope, can't do it today. I don't look good today. And I know that's silly, but
Give me an adjective that other people have used lately to describe you. Whether or not you believe it's true. Like, what have other people said to you? Your clients.
I don't know. I got a facial the other day, and she said I was so skinny.
Did she mean that as offensive, like, oh, my God, you're
no,
so skinny, or did she mean it as flattering?
She was comparing me to herself. And
okay.
I don't see it that way, but that's...
Okay, forget about how you see it. So somebody said to you, you're so skinny, meaning you look good compared to me, right? That's really what she was
right.
saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. The only people that give me compliments anymore are my kids. Actually, just the baby, just the three-year-old.
Okay. Maybe you don't hear him.
I guess. My husband says I look good. I don't know. But I get, I've got dysmorphia, I think.
Hmm. Because I personally know two people who I introduced you to, Jacqueline and Dr. Brasilia.
Mm-hmm.
And in after they met with you, both of them said to me, she's beautiful.
That was nice.
Okay. So what I'm telling you is it's fear. This is the challenge that you have to overcome is you could make peace in the moment with the idea of, well, I don't look good. I'll take the pictures when I look good.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is it's the things I said before. It's distraction. It's procrastination. It's mm-hmm. negative talk. It's money worry. It's all of those things.
Definitely.
Right? The I don't look good is a money worry monster.
Yeah.
So the way to challenge that monster is to go, fuck you, monster. I'm going to take a picture today, And I'm not going to show it to anybody. I'm not going to even look at it, but I'm going to take the picture because it'll make me feel like at least I took a step. And tomorrow, I'm going to take a picture of walking lunges. And the day after that, I'm going to take a picture of a side lateral. And the day after that, little tiny nudging the needle steps. So I don't want to take you away from the peace and the relaxation that you're having now, but you understand what I was saying about the woman who went on vacation, that now your daughter will have a painted room, and really the people aren't coming to line up at your door to look at the painted room to make you feel significant. You know, if every day people came and they looked at the room and they go, oh my God, this is nirvana, you changed my life, Darby, that would make you feel significant. But at some level, you're accessing a memory. You're accessing a part of your brain, the hippocampus, where you have memories, and it's almost like when you hear a song that reminds you of a previous experience in your life and you go there like you feel good.
Yeah.
So for you, you're reliving the emotions that you associate with your artistic abilities. I just want you to move forward so that you feel significant and feel better. So there's nothing wrong with what you're doing now. But realize when your girls come back, you're back in that place. And your husband will say to you again, relax, because you're going to see the business is stress. Mm-hmm. And all of this is mindset. All of it. None of this is real. I'm promising you. Your business is not stress. Your perception of your business is making it seem stressful to you. You could disagree with anything I said.
No, I don't disagree. I know that I have head issues.
No, and this is not an opportunity to self-diagnose either, but we're looking just for the opportunity. And I thought, you know, for you, just like Heather had this milestone of the magnets.
Yeah.
You know, for you, getting those pictures done, it's not like it's going to change your world. It's just
right.
The nudging of the needle. It's that you've made mm-hmm. some progress forward, and you can do this online consulting, and your business becomes less stressful, and then you get to a place where you have 20 online clients, and it doesn't need to ever feel like it's interrupting your peace. But it's this frantic, oh my God, my business is so stressful, let me go paint, that makes it a this or that, an either or, rather than an integration. Because who you are is all of it. You love training. Doesn't mean you love training every minute. Doesn't mean you love all your clients every minute of every day. But when you feel that significance because you're helping people, you love that. Am I right?
Yeah, I just feel like I've lost my spark with it, you know?
Understand why.
Huh?
Heart?
Yeah.
When we say heart, we don't mean the beating organ, right? We really mean the emotion, the passion, the innate sense of what you truly love.
I mean, I don't even work out anymore. Like, I just don't, you know, I'm like, I want to work out. I want to do things for me. I feel like I'm torn in every different direction. Everybody wants something from me, and I just want to, like, do me. I know that sounds, like, horrible, but, like, I'm...
It doesn't. Do you keep a gratitude journal?
I was. You got me doing that a while back. That was very helpful for me. I'm, like, feeling very grateful for everything, because, as you know, I mean, my husband came out of something that most people can't.
Mm-hmm.
And my life is, I can't say perfect, but I mean, it's pretty great right now considering what it could have been. I don't know. I just, like, I'm constant. I have my 3-year-old still hangs on me and she pulls on my neck. They call that neck time. I can't wait to, like, get away and just be by myself and, like, I need to go, like, on a vacation by myself and just spend a week by myself. I've had kids, little kids for too long, and I don't know. I'm just, like, feel like checking out.
All right. So you're not in a very receptive state right now, so I'm not going to keep driving this home. But here's what I would encourage you to do.
I'm hearing you.
I know you are. Here's what I would encourage you to do. I would encourage you to start a gratitude journal again. And
okay.
It's not that you're not in gratitude. I understand you're very thankful for your life. But the exercise, the actual exercise of expressing gratitude, focusing and writing with your hand, not typing into your phone with your thumbs, but literally
writing it,
that switches off the adrenal response because you cannot be in both states at once. You cannot be in a state of, oh, my God, my world is crazy, and, wow, I'm so thankful. So even though you have gratitude thoughts, the exercise of keeping the journal pulls you at least in moments into a state of what feels to your brain like relaxation. It may not always feel that way to your body, but your brain. And it's parasympathetic recovery. So that's one thing I would do because it's simple and it's going to feel good. The second thing I would do is, you know, just like Gary said, baby steps, I think you just have to, like, if it's maybe one online client, let me get one online client that I love working with. And if you get one and you hate working with them, then get rid of that one and get another one. But you got to get to a place where business doesn't equal stress and it doesn't equal anxiety, where what you do for a living is something you love. And heart, the way you referred to it, lives in the space between mind and spirit. And what happens is when negative talk shows up or money worry, and by the way, negative talk doesn't always only come from your own self-talk. It can come from what other people say to you, whether it's kids, husband, neighbors, clients. You know, when people start to say things to you, it pushes heart down until heart gets buried. But it's still there. It doesn't go away. So sometimes you just have to clear out all the dirt on top of it, and suddenly it feels good again. So if somebody said to you, Darby, you will never work out again, I'm sure that would be really tough. Conversely, if you could love working out again, that would feel great. And I'm telling you that you can, but you're just in a very stuck state. And the only one who can really get you out of it is you. So I think it starts with two things, a gratitude journal, which is just a simple exercise. And I would just literally buy a blank notebook, just, you know, go spend $1.39 on a lined ruled notebook. And every day, just devote 10 minutes to writing down what you're thankful for, trying never to repeat the same thing. And the second thing is, at least for the moment, come up with one simple goal, whether it's 5 pictures now instead of 24. Or finding one online client that you love working with, or getting one referral and doing something totally different that you're going to enjoy. Otherwise, you're hiding, and you're finding memories that feel like joy right now, and you're doing certainly activity, but it's not going to take you to that place of long-term significance, and that's why it feels like you're a little bit of a ping-pong ball getting knocked over the net back and forth, you know? Yes, she's going to make it in her career. Yes, she's going to do something really great. Yeah, she's going to create this online library. Yeah, she's going to get 20 online clients and make the kind of money she wants. Yeah, she's going to only work certain days. From there, the ball gets hit over the net, and it's like, I don't even want to work out. So that's why I started by going, you need to find that place of balance where work doesn't feel like work, where business doesn't feel like stress, but it's an extension of what you love and you just happen to get paid for it. Does anyone else have any thoughts for Darby? Maybe Heather needs to come over with her magnets. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Darby, I think if you feel like you need a vacation by yourself, you should do it. Even if it's just for an overnight stay at a nice hotel with a great spa, get a massage, do something like that if you feel like you need it.
It's way overdue.
I think Darby's always had this fantasy of vacationing in Missouri. So, Heather, are you opening your door? Because she'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think she just hung up.
Right. She doesn't want to magnetize me. She's afraid I may not never come back. I have threatened to not come back before.
Any of the men have any thoughts for Darby, or this is just too female? You can't even get in there. Heather?
I got cut off again. Sorry.
You missed. We were talking about Darby coming to stay at your house, and then you hung up.
You were afraid I would never leave.
No. I was starting to say, Darby, if you feel like you need a vacation, you need to take it, even if it's just a day at a nice hotel and get a massage at the spa. You need to do that. But you're welcome to come and stay at my house. I have a pool. I have lots of room. Yes.
Thank you.
Darby, why don't you come fly out to San Diego?
Oh, I could just make a tour.
Absolutely. Come on.
Come on out to
come
San
on.
Diego.
My family would be like, where is mommy?
She's on
you
tour.
Could be guest, yeah, you could be guest trainer during, you know, all of our sessions.
Then you just go and just recharge the batteries.
Yep.
All right, Darby, I would, when you have the head for it, listen back to this conversation and just see if it resonates for you at all. Okay?
All right, thank you.
All right. Gary, anything you want to update us on? Are you winning?
No, I didn't even gamble, actually. I was just doing a lot of sightseeing. I went to Hoover Dam. We went to Red Rock Canyon, stuff like that. You know, now we're going to San Diego. But I did get a text from one of my clients that I started with about 6 weeks ago, who's now, and she's an older woman, who, but she, since she started with me, not only has she reversed some of her biomarkers, but she's lost 33 pounds in that time. So it's not 6 weeks, I'm sorry, it's 10 weeks. So that was nice, you know, but as far as business goes, I haven't been doing any business.
Yeah, but that makes you feel significant, no?
Absolutely.
I mean, when we talk about changing lives, there it is. That's what we do. You know, I mean, if we focus on the workout and the client and having to be somewhere and driving, it's not fun. But when you get this, that's it. That lights you up, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's a great feeling.
Yeah. How do you feel, I'm curious, and be honest, about when this vacation's over? In other words, are you like, oh, man, this is not long enough. I can't, you know, or is it, I actually am looking forward to going home feeling refreshed?
Yeah. That's definitely how I feel. I've been on vacation before, and by the time the vacation's over, that's what I feel like. I feel like, okay, I got away. Now it's time to get back to work. I feel good. And I usually feel good for a while. And then, you know, if you don't take a vacation, though, when, after many years, you know how that goes. You got to recharge
yeah.
the batteries.
Well, I'm glad that you're doing what you're doing, and I think because it's part of your future memory, too, I just think it's so perfect that you're able to be on vacation and still get an email or a text like that, you know, knowing the good you're doing. So I think you're going to come back fired up to be even better.
That's what I'm focusing on. That's the goal.
All right, and I said at the beginning of the call I don't want to overdo Thrive, but I do want to open up conversation about it. Does anybody want to talk about any element of it all in terms of you're trying
yes.
it, what you're noticing, any questions about it, anything financial, because I'm more than happy to talk about it.
Phil, I have a question about it. If you have clients that have any kind of medication that they're on, does this interfere with it in any way, shape, or form?
You know, Gary, I think with anything, there's always that disclaimer, right? We always say check with your doctor. If they have an arrhythmia, if they have a serious heart issue, then they probably shouldn't be using even caffeine. But if they're drinking coffee or if they're having an occasional Red Bull, then there's less in this to worry about than there is in the Red Bull. So personally, I don't see any true contraindications as a general statement. Now, when we're talking about individual conditions, only a doctor could really address that. But we're looking at natural ingredients. We're looking at a combinations of teas and herbs and prebiotics and probiotics and enzymes. So, you know, the only thing in there that would be a drug is caffeine. And it's 64 milligrams, where most people in a day would probably have over 100 milligrams. So I don't see a major red flag. But with that said, there is a woman in the Alive Across America group who emailed me, and she said she has an extreme sensitivity to caffeine. I said, okay, then you can't use this. It's not for you because there is caffeine in it. But she also couldn't even have like a Coca-Cola. So I think when we speak about chronic disease, Gary, this is a part of the solution. And I'm not presenting this as the fix for chronic disease, but I'm saying it's everything I recommend in the Reboot program. People spend $250 on supplements. They're going to Whole Foods or local health food store based on my recommendation to buy prebiotics, probiotics, enzymes, and antioxidants. Now all they have to buy is this. So with all of that said, don't take that as a blanket statement that it's safe for everyone no matter what medication they're on. but there's nothing like shocking or outrageous or surprising in here. There is caffeine, which is the only stimulant.
Go ahead specifically.
Yeah.
I don't want you to waste your time explaining that. Thyroid. When people that are on thyroid medication have to take their thyroid medication in the morning, they can't have any kind of, you know, food or whatever.
Right.
Now,
I can get you a whole report from a couple of doctors who address this specific to the product. And most of the time when they speak to the doctor, it is okay to take the thyroid medication at night. Now, if they're taking T4 or T3, the idea is they're stabilizing their own internal thyroid hormones every 24 hours, and food will interfere with it because it has to be absorbed. That's the reason they give it first thing in the morning before they eat.
Right.
Because the idea is you're not injecting it, you're taking a pill, so it has to get into the bloodstream. So if you have it with scrambled eggs, the protein and the fats are going to block the absorption. So it's just sort of the way it's been prescribed. Most of the time, if you speak to a doctor about it and you go, hey, I want to start taking this thing first thing in the morning, they wouldn't say take it with your thyroid medication, not because it's dangerous, because it will block the absorption. They would probably say it's okay to take your thyroid medication at night 2 hours after you have your last meal.
So, but you're talking about the shake part, right?
Yeah.
Of thyroid.
Yeah,
so
well, it's not parts. It's one product. Like, people need to understand this. It's not three products. It's not a pill, a shake, and a patch, even though that's the way it's delivered. It all works together. It is synergistic. It is genius in that regard. Because, Gary, I tried to create a pill, a capsule, years ago with almost all of these ingredients, and the problem was, in order to use efficacious amounts, the people that were helping me develop it said that somebody would have to swallow 40 capsules in a day. I never thought of putting it in a shake and a transdermal patch. So it's really one product. You just do three different steps. So you can't separate them out, like just do the shake later in the day. It's you're putting the prebiotics in first into the gut, which you want to do first thing in the morning, and then you're following about 15 minutes later with the shake, which has the enzymes and the probiotics. You're putting in the time-release caffeine, and then you're slapping on the patch. So it really is like one product with three different elements of delivery system. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
What if somebody wants to take the thyroid medication in the morning? What's the minimum amount of time?
I can't say. They would have to really ask the doctor. I can't say that. But what I'm telling you is, so far, what I've seen is people who are reliant on the product and have a thyroid issue take their thyroid medication at night. The reason you don't want to take it too late in the day is because you're getting great sleep. I think Nathan can speak to that. And I know Tony Aviles and my other Be Better group is getting the best sleep he ever got. He had a problem sleeping. So you don't want to start the caffeine time release too late in the day. So it's really put together perfectly. So during waking hours, you're feeling energy, and then nighttime, you sleep really well. So that's why I don't know if you want to interrupt the circadian rhythm by doing it later in the day. But that's just a question for her doctor. But if the question is, have I seen a contraindication where someone on thyroid medication can't use it, the answer is no.
All right. But what about as far as caffeine intake? I'm a coffee drinker myself, and I know most people are. So how does that – you have to cut back on it or eliminate it or what?
You eliminate it.
You got to eliminate it?
Yep.
That's where there's going to be a problem, I think.
Nathan, can you speak to that?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Gary, you and I had already spoke about this. Yeah, you're not going to need it anymore. Once you take this for a couple of days, you are not going to need excessive amounts of coffee, or if that's your thing that gets you the jolt in the morning, you're just not going to need it. I wake up before my alarm. We get over 8 hours of sleep. We usually go to bed by 9 or 9:30, and we get really deep sleep. I'm up before the alarm, and I'm ready to go, and I don't need all that extra caffeine.
But Gary's concerned. He thinks that people won't give up their caffeine.
Yes.
He said that's going to be a problem.
If you tell your clients, just try this for 3 days, by the third day, they're not going to want the coffee anymore. I can guarantee you. Nobody that I've put on product yet has gone back to their caffeine sources.
And, Gary, I want to echo that. I have put over 100 people on the product now. Most of them drink coffee. And not one of them has gone back to – they'll drink decaf. And it's not that it's going to hurt them. It's just it limits the results. So why would you? You don't need it for the energy anymore. So, you know, you could create in your head, you can go, well, that's going to be a problem. In my experience, and I've only been at this 3 weeks, so over 100 people, all of them use caffeine. It's part of the instructions. Go ahead.
My insight to it all is because I've been thinking a lot about this since you guys talked about it. I'm literally talking about me. I am a coffee drinker. I love my coffee in the morning.
Did you try the product yet?
No, I haven't tried the product yet because I was coming here.
We could talk about it until I'm blue in the face. The only way to tell is to try it.
No, I'm gonna try it. That's a gimme. I'm just you said that this was a forum to ask you questions about it, so that's why I'm asking it. I like coffee, and it's not that I like the taste of the coffee. I like the hot. I don't know. In the morning when I wake up, I just like something hot, and coffee is what I'm used to. So,
this product is only for people who find that they feel better on it. So if you find that you feel better drinking hot coffee and you don't want to give up the caffeine, then honestly, it's not for you. But there's nothing I or anyone can say until you try it. You'd have to try it to have the experience.
Oh, yeah.
And if you go,
I will.
Yeah, and if you go, hey, you know what? I'm switching to decaf because I still get the hot drink, but I don't need the caffeine anymore. Well, I think you're going to be surprised. And as I said, if that's
I
not the case, it's not for you.
No, I could do that. I could do that, actually, the decaf part. I think that would work. So that's
and I also want to tell you that
from my clients, too. That's what.
The money-making opportunity is so crazy real. I can't say enough good things about the opportunity and the product. And this, I didn't start out that way. I started out 5 weeks researching it before I spoke to anyone about it. Then I introduced it to the Be Better people. Then I introduced it to my live group. That's all I've done. And I just want to see. And it's, today my ex-wife started on it because my daughter told her about it because she hears me on the phone all the time. So today my ex-wife and her husband just started on it. We'll see how they feel. Because they don't like anything I do. So we'll see. But honestly, I haven't had anybody say anything negative. Not one person. I think Darby, and maybe Aunt Heather, I think got a little jittery the first day or the first couple of days. So that happens sometimes.
Yes, I did. I was really uncomfortable like the first 3 days of it. Today is day 12, and it's good. Things really shifted probably day 5.
Yeah.
And I can absolutely speak to the better sleep. Absolutely. I am a chronic insomniac, and sleep is good.
Were you a caffeine user?
No. I've been off caffeine for probably a year and a half.
Okay, so that's probably why you got the jitters, because you didn't have any tolerance built up to caffeine as many people do. And you said about 4 or 5 days in, the jitter stopped, and now you feel good.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So, Gary, that's, you know, if we hear anything that's kind of like not great out of the gate, it's either that, they feel jittery, and it goes away, or some people go through a little bit of a detox. And these are usually people who have been eating pretty shitty foods. And it's because they're loading their gut with pre and probiotics, and their gut wants to get rid of all the crap that's built up. So they go through a few days of spending time in the bathroom, and then they feel great. So that's all I've heard in terms of anything other than super positive. So I'm anxious for you to come back, try it, and then we'll see. We'll see what you think.
Okay. Yeah, when I come back, I'll get in touch with Nathan, and we'll get this going.
Okay, fantastic. All right, guys. Keep doing what you're doing, Darby. Enjoy painting. Enjoy relaxing. Enjoy your time. You might want to take Heather's advice and listen back to this call because you I don't want to say you have to, but I'm going to say personally, I want to find a place for you where you just feel so balanced. And from where I sit, it's not that complicated. So I really hope I can instill at least the belief that that's possible for you, and then little steps nudging the needle will get you there. Until we speak again, be better, everybody. Bye-bye.
All right, take care.